Hello everyone, welcome to Thoughtful Thursdays podcast. Today's episode is picking up sort of where we left off last time, talking about spiritual warfare's forgotten side, and today we are talking about wearing cross tags. Why are cross tags? What do I mean by that? We'll get into it, so let's go. So last week we covered the topic of spiritual warfare's forgotten side, which is the fight to bring society closer to God. And today we're going to continue exploring the subject of how to battle for society. And how do we make an influence? Because that's a question that a lot of people have, don't really know how to get answered. Now, before we get started, let me just admit that I've tried writing two or three other pieces and preparing them before I travel over the weekend to visit my family. My plan was to have them all lined up nice and ready, like ducks in a row, so they could launch on a regular basis without me needing to worry about it or stress, and then we could take care of some other stuff during that time. Yeah, God didn't like that plan. He told me to scrap everything, which explains why it was so hard for me to write this stuff, compared to this one, which wasn't that hard, and I was able to do in a good evening. But the reason the other things I'd written, and even recorded, need to be getting rid of, is because I was trying to do something that I wasn't called to do. What I was trying to do was launch a series that would enable me to just have them come out on a regular basis, giving me free time for other tasks I wanted to handle. Specifically, because one of the YouTube ministries I follow, which is the Fuel Project, had just released their new series called Trench. I didn't realize this was the case until I listened to the Holy Spirit's conviction and understood what was happening in me. I was abandoning my calling and trying to create an Ishmael. Basically, this means I was trying to do in my own strength what was supposed to be done in God's strength, authority, power, life, and in His abundance. During my spiritual recharge time, I went through the called course on John Bevere's free resource, Messenger X. It's an app as well as a website. You can find it both on Google Play Store as well as the App Store. On this quick moment, I just want to remind you that I'm reading the blog that I've written. Though, as I'm speaking this, there may be times where I am led to extrapolate and give a little deeper depth on some stuff, but I do my best to keep on track, on script, so to speak. Anyways, back to what I was talking about, you can find the Messenger X app on both Google Play and the App Store for you Apple users. And as I was saying, you can even find it on the online from your computer. I will have links to this resource in the usual place where I have links. And here's the thing about the called course. It has 10 lessons, with each lesson having a follow-up challenge that is meant to be a way of implementing what you had read and learned about in that session. So here's something that is interesting about the course that makes it so valuable. It's that you can easily divide in, I guess, two parts. One is about understanding a foundation of the calling you have in your life, understanding why you've been given the calling, the reason for existing. Then it goes on to sort of a transition from knowing why you have a calling, learning your calling, how to fulfill your calling, and keep it from suffering calling killers. And by calling killers, what John Bevere is talking about is there are things in your life that can reduce the effectiveness or outright kill the ministry that you were part of, making it no longer able to be good. Essentially, if you do not take care of these killers and know how to be aware of them and prevent them from impacting you, you're going to become essentially dead as far as effectiveness go. You'll be able to come to the calling again, but the massive impact you wanted to have that God had for you is one of those things that is going to be massively impacted and negated because of your own actions. That's episode 7 if you're interested about what it means by calling killers. So, today's topic of wear your cross tags is something that many of you have not heard before, except for maybe my parents who are familiar with the term cross tags, which I came up with. It's my own term, it's my own phrase, and it was just because I realized how Christians are to be identified with Christ, completely serve with Him as our commander-in-chief. Not too different from a soldier's dog tags they wear. That tells of the soldier's serial number, as well as some other things about them. Minor things that don't reveal any form of classified information, but just gives you information about them specifically. And we are given as Christians the former God for the reason of fighting the spiritual war, but we also need to have those tags on us that remind us of who we are or where we serve. And that's, sorry, I'm getting a little off track, I mean off script, but as I was saying about the spiritual armor, it's so that we can fight in the spiritual war, and we need to make sure we follow the orders we are given when we do our actions to fight that war. If we are out of line, we will not have the support that is needed to be an effective team member. The calling of God in your life, and my own life, will be unique for each one of us, but it is our spiritual marching orders specific to our scenario in need. As a military kid who has relocated a few times, and with several friends who are also military kids, who are military and all those things, I can understand a lot of the spiritual parallels between army life and military life, contrary to those who are not in the military or don't have first or second-hand experience with the military actions. But with what I'm talking about is when you need to move, the orders tell you what you need to do, where you need to go, and report for duty, and other details about that. When you need to move a family, the military will send guys that will packing, preparing it for the move, and your job is to make sure that everything is prepped for the guys to come, pick up the stuff, and make sure that nothing is missed in the process of being packed. Please don't look too deeply into this analogy, as it will break down as all analogies do, but the main point I'm making is that we will be receiving support in the areas of our ministry, of our lives, through the obedience to God as He gives them to us. And by obedience to God as He gives them to us, I'm again referring to the orders that He gives us. Obedience is a non-negotiable issue. You either completely obey Him or you have disobeyed Him. One thing that is not mentioned in the blog, well, I may edit it as I'm after finished recording this, but remember how when God told Saul to the Amalekites, or I can't remember which people group it was, but it was the people who had told them to wipe everyone out. The cattle, the donkeys, all of it. And then Saul and his men's like, hey, some of these cattle and animals are good animals. We don't need to kill all of them. We can keep some of them for ourselves. Have a nice barbecue. I don't know if that's what they thought, but I'm summarizing a little bit and playing my own little exaggeration in the story. But in short, Samuel comes down, he's like, what have you done? God gave you orders, and you didn't obey any of them. Well, you didn't obey all of them, which is just as bad as obeying none of them. And that reminds me of another verse which says, if you can follow the whole law, but stumble at one point, you're guilty of breaking all of it. It's the same with obedience. And which brings us back to the whole fact of, you either obey Him completely, or you have disobeyed Him. And let me talk a little bit more about that. And we're going to go back in time on my life, which is when I first came up with the idea of Crosstags. I wanted it to be the name of an autobiography about me moving around as a military kid who is also a Christian. I thought my life experiences would be interesting to people. Yeah, God didn't have other plans. Sorry, I misspoke. God had other plans, and I wouldn't have expected that my first book to be published on Amazon would be just taking the blog series Blog Into the Armory and making it into a easy-to-read format and easy-to-share around. You can find it on Amazon. It's $5. Paperback, $250, $249 via ebook. I do have plans to turn it into an audiobook, but that's neither here nor there at the moment. Just wanted to put that shout out about it, let you know it's there. I will have links to it in my profile and all those, you know, I'll have links where it's necessary. But as I was saying, when I was writing it, my focus was on what God needed me to be said. My focus while writing was on God. And that is what needs to happen in our lives to be active in the forgotten side of spiritual warfare. That is an important part of understanding our calling. We need to know what our calling is and obey it. In everything that we do, we are to have a spirit of excellence, which is to do our best and to do what God wants us to do in our lives. And that this is one more thing that you won't see in the blog, because this is things I'm coming as I'm saying it. On a completely separate note, sorry, you'll get to deal with my ramblings. I may edit this part out. But anyways, as I was saying, one of my friends is doing a double major in college and was thinking of changing his political science to a business degree. That might not be a bad idea, except for one little thing. God had called him to do that specific degree because he was also in a ministerial studies as well. So he's going into ministry, he's going to have a degree in ministry and a degree in political science. God will allow him to see the things going on in our society, going on in politics, to recognize the connection between the spiritual and physical worlds. Political and the spiritual world, God will use those studies to recognize where the two interconnect, where they overlap. And when I heard him considering changing, I told him about that importance of his majors, telling him that God would use his knowledge to see the connections, which would have an impact in him in the future, and allow him to better guide others. And when God gives you a calling, there is a divine authority with it that comes from God. John Bevere, in his called course, gives a testimony of when he once was flying to an event at the beginning of his ministry, that God had asked him, while John was reading his Bible, if John wanted to be sent by God or by himself. And by that, did John Bevere want to be sent by God or sent by John Bevere? And when God asked John Bevere that question, John Bevere realized there would be a deep difference between the two things. If you're sent by yourself, you won't have that divine calling and authority. Whereas if you're sent by God, you are walking in his path and his directed steps. Just like how the apostles and the disciples displayed God's power when they went out in the ministry. They were empowered because they had obeyed his commands from the start. They had been told to wait in Jerusalem until he gave them the needed power. His power was the Holy Spirit coming alive and active in them on Pentecost. And the Holy Spirit is given to each and every Christian so that he can be their power source, their guide in life. He is the Spirit of God within you that is available when you become a Christian. He takes up dwelling. You build a relationship with him. Through reading your Bible, the Holy Spirit allows you to better understand it. And there's a whole lot of other things. I'm doing my best to stay focused on what I've written on the blog page here. But you'll just have to deal with it. So as I'm saying, the Holy Spirit is given to all of us, just as he was given to the early believers to do ministry. When we operate in that calling, we are allowing for the Holy Spirit to be active in us. But there's one more thing that John Bevere talks about in the called course, and it's that we cannot be moved from our calling of God by outside forces, meaning the world can try and get us out of that path. But as long as we are obeying God, focused on him, the world may put all sorts of things in our way, and God will say, I know what was going to happen, so I've got this path laid out, we're going to zigzag around, take a turn, backtrace, take three rights to get a left, and then we're going to arrive at the place where they're trying to stop us. And so, he's going to be with us in this path, even when the world tries to stop us. There's just one thing we have to understand. We can't be moved unless he orders for us to be moved one place to another. Meaning, once our time in one location is done, God will give us orders of saying, stay here for a little while until I move you, because while your time here is done, I'm going to continue growing you, and then going to open the doors for the next place, or you yourself can choose to leave the calling of God on your life. And that's one thing you must understand. And that's where the book I'm currently reading comes into play. The book I'm reading is The Bait of Satan, which is also by John Bevere. He has a course on Messenger X about it. I recommend you go check it out. I will have links. And this one is about the bait that Satan uses to bring us out of the calling of God, to make us turn away from him. Since The Bait of Satan was written before the Called course ever came out, he didn't fully have that vision and understanding given. But he talked about how offense, which is the enemy's attack on us, it is the bait of Satan to get us offended and to leave God, that exists. And in the Called course, when you combine those two together, when you go through the course of the bait of Satan, right after you go through the Called course, or vice versa, the two will blend together naturally as the messages are so important. When you're in your calling, don't be afraid of speaking God's word because it might offend someone. And when you are going through the calling, don't let offense that can come from others impact you. Don't let yourself be offended as you're following God. Both of those things are important things. And so, as we're talking about keeping the calling of God and focusing in obedience, this brings up one final thing that John Bevere spoke of in the Called course before I continue along in this podcast, is before John Bevere spoke for the first time, it was one of his early days. I can't remember if it was his first or his early one, one of the early ones, but he speaks of it in the Called course. And one of the wise preacher friends that was with him there gave him a note saying that God was going to reward his obedience by providing on him more responsibilities, more callings, more things that other people had been disobedient in. Essentially, much like in the parable of the talents, where the master comes and sees the lazy and wicked servant who didn't multiply the talent he had been given, this master said, take this talent which has been given to this servant who has not used it, who has done nothing with it, but let it stay as it is. Take it away from this wicked and lazy servant and give it to the guy who's actually worked what I gave him and multiplied it. And John Bevere was told he'd have the same thing happen. John Bevere was a little confused. He's like, wait, what? But now as he's looking back on it, I want to say it was roughly 30 years ago when that happened to him. But he looks back on it saying, a big wow, saying, that's amazing how God was going to use that for him. And that's why when we're dealing with our calling, when we're going through it, our enemy, Satan, will want to keep us to get out of obedience to God. He will want us to be offended of God, be offended by God, to be afraid of offending others, speaking the word of God, and all those things, because Satan knows, not just Satan, but all of heaven, all the spiritual realm understands that obedience to God carries with it the divine authority of God. Is that authority which Jesus talks about after he's resurrected, saying, all authority on heaven and earth has been given to me, and now I give it to you. That is why the early apostles and all the following ups that have been successful and powerful is because they've chosen to obey God. There are people who can reject it. There are people who will let themselves be offended and will ditch the calling of God. They will ditch the authority that has been given to them. They may have something left, but it's not the same as what it was when they were following God, when they were working in his authority, something that looks to be alive, as John Bevere calls it in the Bait of Satan book. And so, when we're dealing with offense and we reject the basic principles of what God has called us to do, In this last sentence, I say, I'm going to start with the last two sentences of this paragraph and then continue onwards. Satan knows that obedience to God carries with it the authority of God, and our enemy wants to keep us from having that authority in our ministry. That is why he works tirelessly to stop us from fulfilling the calling. If he can get us offended at the basic principles of what God has called us to do, then we'll be more likely to reject it. Now, going from one John to another John, John Cooper of the band Skillet has been so hard on what he calls progressive Christianity, or essentially any Christianity which is getting popular and removes the idea of sanctification from Christianity. What he says in his podcast is they're trying to divorce sanctification from Christianity because the two things are part of each other. And as he describes it, he says sanctification is just a fancy way of saying that we are being made holy by the continual renewing of our minds in Christ through the power of the indwelling Holy Spirit, just like we are told by Paul in Romans. Romans 12, 1 through 2 is the famous quote which says this. It says that not to be conformed to the pattern of this world, but renew our minds in Christ. Verse 1 is one which says, present our bodies as living sacrifices to God, for this is true and proper worship. And let me just say that Romans is a good book to read through. It has a lot of good stuff. Okay, the entire Bible has a lot of good stuff. But right now the book of Romans is on my mind, so I just want to say, read book of Romans. It's got a lot of stuff. It's very applicable to our day, which again, the entire Bible is applicable to our day and age. Comes from God, so it's eternal, so it never gets old. It will get rough at times, but it never gets old, never loses its value. And let me get off of this sidebar, which has, again, I'm off script. I'm getting better at this, don't worry. And so, saying as I was, sanctification is just a fancy way of saying we are being made holy. Right, I spoke that, but I'm going to say that again. Sanctification is just a fancy way of saying that we are being made holy by the continual renewal of our minds in Christ through the power of the indwelling Holy Spirit. This means that we need to get rid of all the things that ensnare us. This ties us back up to calling killers. I'm going to have a tongue twister at the end of this if I'm not careful. And so, in 1 Thessalonians 4, 3 through 6, it makes it clear to us that God's will for our lives begins with sanctifying us. God wants us to be holy. He wants us to come before Him, presenting ourselves as living sacrifices, conforming not to the patterns of this world, but transformed in our mind, body, soul, to be in accordance with God's will, to have His nature within us and not the nature of the world. And this concept is what offends most, if not all, people today, because they need to stop indulging in the sins of the flesh that they enjoy. It's painful to do this, and that's why Christ said we need to deny ourselves and pick up our cross daily. When he said this, he meant we need to put the things of the flesh to death, and also warned it would be painful internally when we did this. Crucifixion has been agreed by scholars to be the most painful way to die, and in the same way, when we choose Christ, it feels that part of us has died. And that's true, our sinful flesh has been put to death every time we choose to obey God. And more we put to death our sinful flesh on a regular basis, the less and less authority we will have in our own lives. It's never an easy process in a sense of, it's not a one and done deal. It's like going to the gym. A person can get big and bulky, but this is not a weightlift thing. In order to get yourself big and bulky, you have to keep weightlifting and weightlifting, regular days. And then when you do cardiovascular and endurance stuff, you have to keep doing that or else you'll fade away. And it's the same way with the Christian walk. You need to stay on a regular pursuit of God so that you can be prevented from backsliding, or however you want to call it, by continually coming to Christ and renewing your minds. It is the way we keep ourselves from becoming corrupted by the things of the world again. And I got a little off script, but as I was saying, people don't like this, and that's why they get offended by the things of the gospel. They get offended by this and turn their backs and leaves. In John Bevere's Debate of Satan, he talks about how God does not care if the truth that he speaks offends them, but his purpose is not to offend. His purpose is specifically to bring ourselves to redemption, to bring Christians, not just Christians, but to bring humans to redemption and renewal by his blood of Jesus Christ. I just want to give a quick apology for that little seemingly abrupt end. I was having to deal with some stuff on the editing aspect of it. Anyways, I wanted to make things less rambly as had been in that little segment beforehand. So as I was talking about, God's goal is to bring us into sanctification through the blood of Christ. And that's why he does not care if a person gets offended by what he speaks, but his goal is not to offend. John Bevere gives a lot more detail and better explanation in the book, The Bait of Satan, which I recommend you guys read. But as I was coming back to the script here, is there's a reason to remove sanctification of Christian culture. There is a fight to remove it, and here is why. Sanctification gives us the nature of God, and that means we hate sin in our lives. We don't excuse it in our lives, and we keep other Christians accountable so that they too will seek holiness. John Bevere, episode 7 of the Called Course, which I talked about earlier, is about calling killers. And at the top of that list is he talks about unrepentant sins. So if there's a sin that has not been dealt with, it will cause our downfall and reduce our impact that when we are brought back to our calling. Because we can be repentant, we can be forgiven, we can come back and continue fulfilling the calling God has given us. But in our world, in the eyes of everyone else, it'll be like, look at this guy, he's a fake, he failed. Because remember, the world is not as forgiving as us. And that's why we must be hard on ourselves and fight hidden sins when they show up. John Bevere gives the example of, for a while, he was addicted to pornography. Other people have other addictions. For some, it may be alcoholism. I know that in my family, there is a, I don't want to say trend, maybe trend is the right word, but there have been people in my past, of my family, that have a history of fighting alcoholism. And so, a little while ago, and by a little while, I mean years ago, in my prayer time, God told me not to drink alcohol. I'm not going to get on a soapbox here about you should or shouldn't drink, but what I'm saying is the Holy Spirit will warn you and inform you of certain things that exist in your life. So whether it be pornography or some other addiction, for a little time it was video game addiction and the content I was consuming, but God will criticize you, not criticize, convict. He will convict you saying, hey, you said you wanted to be holy. You wanted to follow me. That stuff is not holy. That stuff is not good. It is ruining your spirit and nature after me. And it will cause the downfall of your person if you don't get rid of it quickly. And by quickly, what God means is intentionally and purposefully, once he reveals it to you, it's so that you can put into obedience to his conviction. We are brought into conviction, and we are to immediately obey that conviction over whatever sin we have not repented of. And not only are we to repent, but we are to not live in that sin anymore. That's what true repentance means. And Satan, he wants us to completely fail in that calling. He wants us to be unable, not enabled. U-N, not E-N. Two different words. But he doesn't want us to be able to reach that calling and full influence that God has for us in the spiritual battle. He doesn't want us to be able to truly impact as many people as God knows we can impact. And Satan, he's not God, but he can definitely, from the past few millennia, say, that guy looks a lot like this other influential person. And if he were to follow God, oh no, we can't have another one of those happening in this day and age. Nuh-uh, we are not going to do that. Quick, let's go send some temptations against him. I know, we'll send some greed. A little greed never hurt, well, it hurt a lot, but never hurt our side. And so, whatever your specific temptation is, whatever your specific lust of the flesh, as other passions say. And by lust of the flesh, we mean just fleshly, simple desires that you may struggle with. Those things will be used against you if and only if you don't quickly come to God and fight them determinedly in His power, which is another thing. Since we know it's God's purpose for our lives to be sanctified, but as God has it revealed in His Word that is His desire for us to be sanctified, we know that when we come to Him saying we want to be sanctified, cleansed of this sin, and truly empower it, if we truly humble ourselves confessing to get rid of this thing in our lives, He will empower us to overcome it. Now, as I'm reading this, I'm reminded of what it says in Oswald Chambers, that when a place has become a victory, it can easily become another place of entrapment. One battlefield can become a repeat if we're not careful. And so that's one of the things we need to remember about the spiritual warfare. Just because you beat a sin a while back, you shouldn't necessarily play the side. You shouldn't essentially risk it. If something's too close, don't risk it. Going back to my example where God's told me not to drink alcohol, it's one of those things where it's just one, like, for instance, you're at a fancy dinner, you're like, it's just one glass of wine, nothing's gonna hurt. That one glass of wine may not hurt, but it can easily open the door that will cause you to slip into what has been prevalent in your family, or whatever it may be. I'm just using myself because you're only really authorized to talk about yourself in any of these situations unless someone has given you written permission and in triplicates, so everyone knows. Okay, maybe not quite so exaggerated, but you know what I'm saying. I'm only authorized to speak about what God has given me to speak about. I know I'm able to speak about myself in these scenarios. So what are we to make of all this? We've covered a lot of this, and this is roughly 30 minutes. Okay, 32 minutes at the moment. So let's come to the conclusion of what we're talking about. What does it really mean to wear a cross tags? And here is a summary of what it means to remember. Here's what it means to wear your cross tags. Here's how we apply all the things that we've talked about. Here's what I say. Just as dog tags in the military identify a soldier, a Christian who wears their cross tags is one who is fully committed to the main goal in their life, and that is sanctification. Their goal is to become so aligned with God that they are willing to go through the process of receiving His nature. They have accepted that this process will bring them through times of pain and struggle, but their foundation is on the desire to know Him. From the foundation of truly knowing God and obeying Him, they march according to their orders under His authority to further the kingdom of God and to multiply their reach for His sake. When they encounter a chance to get offended, they don't let themselves get offended. And when they speak, don't worry about if it offends others, but if they have spoken the words God has given them, in all things they seek God first for the Holy Spirit to be active. In all things they seek God first and allow for the Holy Spirit to be active in their lives as guide, knowing that where God has placed them, they shall not be removed until God orders them to move elsewhere and work in that new place. I just want to say a few things. One, I pray that this will impact you and bring you to a new understanding. Two, I'll probably do some quick edits to make it easier for readers, which is a benefit of bringing this stuff to you guys, because you can't see what I'm seeing. I'm able to explain things, readers cannot, so I'm going to make sure it's easy for them. And also, that as these posts get longer, it's very possible that it's not... Right, it's very possible that God's not going to let me have short posts for a little while if I keep following Him. And so, I hope you don't mind these getting longer. I don't want these to get more than half an hour. But if God wants me, what can I say other than God be the glory and obey Him, right? Anyways, check out the links for Messenger X. And I will have a link to John Cooper's website where he'll have links to all his podcast episodes. But in short, Godspeed, everyone. Courage and Godspeed.